That is Julie, or is that
hello, everybody, and welcome. Somebody's got their line open, so I'm going to mute.
I will make sure.
Lynn, can you mute everybody? Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And then just make sure that because somebody's talking on the phone behind them. Maybe Jeannie was. Maybe that was Jeannie. Yeah, you're on the phone. All right. So hi, everybody, and welcome to our October 2018 Open Coaching and Support Call. And the purpose of these calls is to just really support you in any way that you need support. And even if you don't feel like you have a question or something you want help with, you still are going to learn a lot by listening to other people's stuff, especially Jeannie had some good questions that I think will be of general information. And then Sandra wants me to go over her blood spot fatty acid. So for those of you who are thinking about a blood spot fatty acid or got it included in your package, you'll get to see what kind of information we get in there. And maybe it'll encourage you to, oh yeah, I want to get that information and do your test. We did have the emails should be going out with a link that, and it probably did because I got some, with a link that says, please let us know if you're going to be coming. And when you click that link, it'll bring you to a little quick Google form. It really only should take a couple of minutes to fill out. Lets me know how many people to expect. And also if there's specific stuff, like Sandra said, hey, if my blood spot fatty acid came in, can you go over it? And we said, yes. And we were able to find it. And so it's all ready before we get on the call. Whereas if in the middle of a call, you go, oh, can you go find my blood spot fatty acid test? It's just a lot of work to do that. And then Jeannie had some really cool questions that I thought, I think it's great. So whoever submitted those, we're going to go ahead and we'll start with those and then we'll go from there. Cause there's a lot of you on here that didn't do it, but I know it's a brand new process that we put into place. So we'll get it going sooner rather than later. And it just really helps me to know, who to expect and what kind of stuff I could be prepared. So, and there's John. Hi, John.
Here I am. Hello.
Yay. All right. So let's go ahead. It looks like there's 14 of you on right now. 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. Yeah. On most of you, 14. You all have we all have our screens open. Yay. Great. I love it when that happens. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start with, Sandra's blood spot fatty acid. Then we're going to go to Jeannie's questions. Then I'm going to go back to that form and see if there's anybody else that had questions. I think most of you said no. But we'll go from there. All right. So what I'm going to do is okay if I share my screen, right, Sandra?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to click the link here to your PDF. And here we go. And then I'll click share screen. So give me a second to get back to Zoom and click share. And it is blood spot fatty acid. So blood spot fatty acid test, just for those of you who may not know, is a test where it's a real easy test to do. You just have to prick your finger and they give you a card and you put the thing on there. So you don't have to go to the lab. So for those of you who live in the middle of nowhere and can't travel in the winter in a lab, it's one of those labs you can do at home. And it basically looks at a subset of all the fatty acids. The full blown that you get your blood drawn to do looks at a lot more fatty acids, but these look at the essential fatty acids and the ratios between them and gives me a lot of information, especially if you're having an inflammatory condition. It gives me an idea of how we can intervene. How are you doing with taking your omega-3s? Are you taking too much of one, not enough of another? And are the ratios out of balance? And it gives us something that you can actually do. So it gives me information about how your fat balance is, but also if I look at the pathway, and I'll show you in a minute, I can tell what maybe you might be deficient in certain cofactors like B vitamins or vitamin C and some other things that we can do to help you with getting that in balance. So for Sandra, they give me a little summary page. I kind of briefly look at it, but what this is saying is that she's got an increase in DGLA, which is a particular omega-6, and they're saying reduce LA and GLA sources. So I'll tell you what that means. I usually don't even look at that. I just look at the picture. So this is basically the report, very simple compared to something like a Dutch test, which is very complex, and it gives us good information. So when I look at this, Sandra, it looks like you're eating plenty of omega-3 sources like flax, chia, hemp seeds, walnuts, good sources of the ALA. You're also taking in good sources of EPA and DHA, and they're all equal, which is what we really want to see. So really good balance of omega-3. When we look at omega-6, you're taking in a lot of, good levels, high levels of omega-6 LA and GLA, which these get converted between, but I'm going to ask you a question. When I see really hefty levels here, I'm asking, are you taking any borage oil, evening primrose oil, or black currant oil?
No.
And are you eating hemp seeds?
Yes.
Okay. So hemp seeds are a good source of GLA. And the reason I ask is that typically I see low levels of GLA in people who aren't supplementing already or who aren't eating hemp seeds, which are a good source of both omega-3, ALA, and also GLA. So, and the other sources of those, if you're supplementing, would be borage oil, evening primrose oil, borage, evening primrose, or black currant. So yours are good. You don't need anything there. The problem is here is that the DGLA, which is downstream metabolite, that these get converted down to DGLA. And it says to me that you're probably taking in too much of the LA, possibly too much of the GLA, and it's getting converted to DGLA. And this can be inflammatory. It can create an inflammatory condition in the body, inflammatory eicosanoids. And I know that you've been dealing with inflammation, you know, with your eyes and the allergic type reactions. So reducing the intake of your GLA source, your omega-6 sources. And I'll tell you how to look at that in a minute. Your arachidonic is right in the middle of the range. I like to see it more towards the low end of the range because, again, it's an inflammatory omega-6. And the only sources dietarily of arachidonic would be meat, chicken, beef, etc., and peanuts. Those are the only real, and dairy products and eggs. So animal sources, other than fish is completely different. It's more on the omega-3. And then, of course, peanuts is the only plant source. So I know you're probably not eating peanuts, right?
No, but I eat meat and chicken, yeah.
You eat meat and chicken. So you might want to look at the amounts of that and cut back on it a little bit and, you know, keep it down to a little bit less. But also look at your omega-6 versus 3 in terms of your food. So I would go into the spreadsheet that we provide, and I can show you guys where it is. I was talking to Diana about it today as well, so I can show you guys where to find it. But it's in the diet pillar, and it's, let's see if I can find it, ERC Home, good. It's in the diet pillar under fats, and it's a really cool little spreadsheet. We'll go through it more when we get to that part in the Body Freedom, but let me go there and show you. So if we go to diet, you can either go down to diet and click it, or you can go to the top of the page where it says diet and look down, and we see where it says healthy fats, right? Managing inflammation with dietary fats and nutrients. That's, I believe that that's the page where you're going to find this really cool spreadsheet. And I highly recommend that you watch this, especially if you have it. Like I said, we'll take you through it. I don't remember which month it's in. I think it might be December. We'll guide you through it. But there's that. But if you scroll down here, whoops, it should be on this page. Order a blood spot fatty acid, avoid processed, research inflammation, fighting food. This is actually a good page. I don't know if you've been here before, Sandra, but it would be a good page for you.
I've seen the spreadsheet before.
Track your omega-3, omega-6 balance, the process drive, and give your body an oil change. So we'll go back there. I'm on the wrong page. But at least we track you back. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's on this page, so you've seen it before. This gives you really good background about fat. So, Diana, this would be good for you to be looking at as well because we talked about that today. And then here we go. Here we go. So number 5 on the first page of the – I'll just go back to show you where I found got this. You go to diet. Diet, you see healthy fats, give your body an oil change. know, it's a good one for you to go through if anybody that's having inflammation. And then number five has this spreadsheet. If you don't do spreadsheets, you can just download it here in the PDF. It'll just give you. But if I click here, I have to download it, darn it. Okay. We should put this on Google Drive, Lynn. We should really put this on the Google Drive so people can, who don't have Excel can use it. Let me just put it in my downloads folder. And then I'll show you what it looks like. All right. Okay. So you'll have to download it to your computer, and if you don't have Excel, it won't run. So we'll put it up on the Google Drive, and we'll have that as a link up, an option there too. Okay, so view. I may have to change my view so you guys can see this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to actually make this easy. I'm going to go to the Google Drive. And I'm going to go to template. I have a template folder. There we go. All right, so I'm going to put it here. I'm going to say new, cancel, new file upload. And I'm going to upload that to here, and then it'll show right there. I don't have to do anything. It'll be much easier. And then we'll add a link to the page. Where'd it go? I just downloaded it. Huh. Give me a second. That's strange. I just downloaded it here, and it's not showing there. So let me just look here again. Go to this page. Show in folder. Okay, where is it? All right, I'm going to drag this to here. If I say new, file upload. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on here. I really want to show you this. Now, where can I find it? It's in a local disk. Let me move it to where I thought it was. Documents. Okay. Now it's there. All right. So if I go here. And I say new, file upload, now it should be there. Okay. Okay. And I'm going to say open with sheets. All right. It's a really cool spreadsheet. It's worth the wait. Sorry about it taking so long. Okay. So this is the spreadsheet that, and we'll put the link in there, but if you downloaded that, it's an instruction sheet. It tells you about why we did it. Now here's the tracking template, and then here's some recipes I put in. So what you basically want to do here is just go through your day for a couple of days and track all the foods that have fat in them. So just put them in here and you'll be able to see what your ratios are. So for example, if I have, you know, an ounce of flax seeds, I put it over here. I say I have 1 ounce. Let's see. Yeah. So over on this side, it tells you the value in each of these of omega-3s and 6s. And then over here, you would put in, say, quantity I put in would be, let's just say you do serving size is 1 ounce. So you put, you have 1 ounce. What did I say? Hemp seeds. Okay. So 1 ounce of hemp seeds and 1 ounce of chia seeds. And I also have, let's just say I have some almonds and I have an ounce of almonds. Okay, so now we're going to do is look down at the bottom, and it's going to calculate the ratio. And you've basically got double. This should actually say 3663. So we've got double the amount, almost double the amount of omega-6 to 3. This is actually good. 3 or less is fine. But what a lot of folks are doing, like if you're going for the almond butter and eating it out of the jar, right? Yeah. Right? You might be getting, let's just show you what happens if I go to 3 ounces of almonds, right? And I look at the bottom and it tells me it's gone up a little higher. It's actually not as bad as I thought it would be. That's pretty good. Now, there's sometimes I do this and I'll make a recipe and I'll go, whoa, that's a 10 to 1. That's not good. And then I'll go back and just replace some of the almonds with, say, hemp seeds, right? Or coconut or something like that. So you can play with this. And I'd recommend you do this over the course of a couple of days and just see what realistically what that ratio is and see if you could decrease the amount of omega-6. Okay. And especially if it's coming from nuts and seeds, it's going to be easy enough to just substitute one for another. This shows you the ratio, right? So almonds are actually 17 to 1 ratio, but they don't have a lot of either one. So it doesn't throw it off as much. So say I also throw in some hazelnuts and I put in an ounce of hazelnuts. Let's see what happens. Why didn't it update it? It's not updating. What happened? It's not updating. Huh. Something's not right in here. I wonder if it doesn't work in Google, Lynn. I wonder if it screws up the formulas.
That happened before.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're not going to put it on the Google. We're not going to give you the link to the Google Drive yet, but download it to your Excel or manually calculate it just to get a sense of it.
It work in numbers?
What's that?
Work in numbers in Mac?
If I were to look at this and it says,
I mean, if somebody has a Mac,
yes, it should work in numbers, but I don't guarantee it. That's why, yeah, I don't know. I put some recipes in here that are really well balanced. So if you look at the bottom, here's a 0.84, right? And again, this should be, we need to change this and we'll re-upload it. That should say 6 to 3. So that's really good because this recipe has more omega 6, 3 than 6, which is what we're targeting for, especially if you have inflammation, okay? Or thick blood, you know, problems with clotting in it, et cetera. So this is showing how that works. And I'm afraid to change it because this uploaded this way. But you can see that if you make this recipe, you're going to get a really good dose of omega-3s versus 6s. Same thing with my peppermint patties, which are really good, by the way. You can make these peppermint patties, and they have a ratio of 2.47 to 1. So you're still within that 3. And here's a veggie flax tortilla. Who was it asked? Jeannie asked about dehydration, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But this is a recipe for a cracker that's got veggies, lots of veggies and flax seeds, and makes a really nice tortilla. And this one has a really great ratio of 0.91, right? So the lower the ratio, the more omega-3 it has. There's a salad dressing, right? And that salad dressing is a 0.25. Holy cow, there must be mostly flax in there. Flax and veggies, right? So anyway, this is a really nice spreadsheet for you to have. And we'll get it working on the Google Drive, and then we'll re-upload a link to it over there. Okay?
Great. So hemp seeds has both omega-3s and 6s, right?
Hemp seeds has both. It's a decent ratio, like 3.5 to 1. Versus, and walnuts are about 4 to 1 versus flax seeds and chia seeds are like 0.2 to 1. So they have way more omega 3 than 6. And so if you're eating foods that are a little higher in omega 6, you can balance them with foods that are higher in omega 3. And if you look at like pecans, pecans are a 20 to 1. Right. The reason that the almonds are so, such a skewed amount is it's a very low in omega-3. So it's only 0.002. So mm-hmm. walnuts are a 4 to 1. So they're a better source. They got a decent amount of omega-3 in that ounce versus almonds has very little versus pecans versus any of these. Now, macs and cashews I use a lot in recipes that because even though their ratio is high, they have very little of either one. So even though they have, you know, a 6 to 1 ratio, they just don't have much of either. So they're kind of neutral. Same with coconut. Coconut doesn't, you know, you really can't calculate it because it doesn't have any omega-3. Makes sense? But doesn't also have much in the way of omega-6 either. So it just gives you a general idea. Like avocado, it's got very little, but it does, you know, if I were to eat a, how much avocado? 1 medium avocado and add that to this particular recipe, because I'm going to eat it on top. Yeah, I don't think it's working. I don't think it's changing it much. Anyway, it works in the Excel version.
Okay.
I didn't mean to experiment in front of all you guys. So, all right. So going back to your report, that's basically all that I'm seeing here. Keep doing whatever you're doing with your omega-3s. You supplementing? You taking an omega-3 supplement?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you're taking is the right amount, so don't ship that.
Okay.
Just try to cut down on the omega-6 in terms of food because you're not taking a supplement. That's all you need to do. We want to get this ratio here. You see this AAEPA? That's an inflammatory marker, and we really want to get that in the range of like 3 to 1. Or less. 3 to 1 is probably a good place to go towards. So if you were to reduce the amount of AA, arachidonic acid, which again is found in meat and chicken and turkey and eggs and dairy. So you just want to reduce that a little bit. That's going to bring this ratio up. You don't want to increase your EPA. Your EPA is already really fine, right? You don't need to. What you need to do is decrease this. And you can do that in a sense by decreasing the animal products, but also you want to decrease this. And you can do that by decreasing the ALA and the yeah. LA in your diet.
Yeah, I've been indulging in nut butters and things like that, so it makes sense. No,
it makes sense then. Yeah, yeah. But overall, I mean, I don't see really good levels up here at the top as often. So good job on what you're doing there.
Great.
Okay.
Fantastic. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, stop share. Okay, so let me go open to my sheet. And I had some questions from, okay, so Jeannie and then Mary. I have a question for Mary. So so Jeannie wants to know what it means, what you need to eat to get into ketosis. She just started testing with her Keto Mojo, and your numbers are 0.1 to 0.4. So that's not in ketosis. That means that your body's relying on glucose to burn. If you wanted to get more into ketosis, you'd be looking at reducing the foods that have higher glucose levels. So looking at reducing grains, reducing fruits, and increasing fats, like good, healthy, whole food fats. A lot of the ketogenic diets out there are focusing on oils as fat. But that's... Whoops. We can do it again. Okay. Sorry about that. You want to look at reducing oils because oils are just... Oil, I equate oils to fat as the same thing as white flour to whole grains. It's just a fractured food. But you can do it with whole food plant-based fats. So I don't, without looking at your exact diet, which we talked about getting it in Chronometer and being able to look at that. So if I could look at that, I could tell you exactly like, oh, decrease this, increase this, even amongst just the foods you're eating right now and help you to get into ketosis. So for me, I get into ketosis by just eating lots of vegetables and lots of whole food plant-based fats. So avocados, coconut. I just had some sprouted almond butter, not almond butter, sunflower butter. I just put some sprouted sunflower seeds in my blender and I blended them up into a nut butter and put those on celery. And that was basically my dinner. It was cool, right? So it's good amounts of vegetables and good amounts of whole food plant-based fats, and you can get into ketosis. And ketosis just means that your body's relying on burning fat more than it's relying on burning glucose. And I was just talking to somebody who I, you know, informally coached today a while back, and she said she, within the last month, and you don't need to lose 20 pounds, so, you know, you don't have to, but I'm saying, but within the last month, she switched to just eating the good fats and lots of vegetables, you know, good whole food fats. It wasn't plant-based. She did eat, you know, some meats and fish and stuff. She lost 20 pounds, and she had been plateaued for years since her baby was born. And she was up and down and up and down, but just plateaued. And she just said the weight melted off of her, and she's feeling very satiated. So, but it's different for everybody, right? It's a matter of finding that right balance for you. You want to maintain your weight. You don't want to lose more weight. You don't want to gain weight, but you want to maintain it. But the benefits of ketosis could be helpful for you. Might not be, right? We just want to see. But because you had some spikes in your sugars, it'd be a good thing to experiment with. And even if it's just like you do a ketogenic type diet 5 days a month, and they talk about that, it's more like a fasting mimicking diet. Right? 5 days a month, that you could get those levels into a really healthy range and protect your immune system and, you know, keep your sugars steady and keep your, yeah. So that's what ketosis is. Does that help? Yeah. And if you get those, if you do the diet tracking, I can actually look at it and say specifically. And I would also look, if you are doing the Keto Mojo and you're getting 0.1 sometimes and 0.4 other times, kind of look at what did you do on the days you got closer, you had 0.4, and see if you could do more of that to shoot it up. So ketosis is considered to be mild nutritional ketosis, like between 0.5 and 1.5. Okay. A more substantial ketosis is considered between 1.5 and 3. And then above 3, it's really hard to get unless you're fasting. And even if you are fasting and you're not, you don't easily keto adapt, you may not get there until you've been fasting multiple days. So for me, I have no problem getting into ketosis. I've been maintaining ketosis on all but maybe 2 readings. I had a 0.4. But other than that, I've been in ketosis anywhere from 0.5 to 3.5 for the last 4 months. And that's just eating as much as I want of lots of vegetables and fats. And I feel really good on it. Like my brain feels like so crisp and so sharp, and my cravings go away when I'm there. But if I tend to eat foods that get my sugars higher and my ketones lower, I tend to be like just kind of brewing over food and thinking about what my next meal is going to be, and like, oh, I want some of this, or I want some chocolate or whatever. So it just really helps with cravings to get there. And some people get there easily, some people don't, right? And I know Lynn has mentioned it's harder for her. My husband, it's really hard for him. He did a 5-day fast and I think he got up to 0.8. You can get past that. Whereas at a 5-day fast, I was at 7. I was at like major ketosis, right? Right. And my blood sugar was in the 40s. It even dipped into the 30s a couple of times. But people say, oh my God, you must have felt like you were going to faint. You must have felt awful. No, I felt phenomenal. I went running. I felt I was full of energy, right? Because I was burning ketones. And so my brain was on fire. It had plenty of fuel. But everybody's different, right? We talk about this. So you play with it. That's what we do. We play with it and we observe and we go, oh, well, that worked. Oh, that didn't work, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. I had 2 days. One day I was a 0.8 and one day I was a 0.9.
Beautiful.
And I had a 0.7.
So beautiful. So look at those days and see what you did there, right? And if you want to do it for more sustained, you would just do more of that. My guess is that you had less fruit or less grains and more fat, more avocado or coconut or whatever else you might eat for fat.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the typical ketogenic diet because it's just so much oil and so much animal fat, and it just can't be healthy, right? I mean, limit the amount of vegetables because they'll throw you out of ketosis, right? You figure out for each person which of those vegetables is going to keep you there. Like if I eat cooked cauliflower versus raw cauliflower, I can eat as much as I want. But if I eat cooked, I have to eat smaller amounts because it'll get me out of ketosis.
Really?
Carrots. I can eat tons of raw carrots shredded on my salad, etc. But if I cook them, I have to be careful. It shoots my sugar up and drops my ketones. It's all a matter of finding each person's ideal diet. And the training here and all the stuff we're doing here is to help you to figure that out. And then you can make informed choices day by day.
Right.
Sense?
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you had another question. I think it was about
dehydrator.
Oh, the dehydrator. Yeah. Do you have one or are you just?
No, I just got your book with all of our books that we got. And then I thought this sounds really interesting and I don't know anything about it. I've never had.
Yeah. So it's a great thing to use. You know, if you're a bread lover, a cracker lover, cookie lover, right? You're a carb lover and you go, well, these carbs aren't doing me so much good. How do I get that texture without having to do carbs? So we have in the recipe guide, it takes you through all kinds of cool recipes. You've got the videos and you've got the book. The book is like 250 pages and the recipe is, the videos are like, I think there's 4 or 5 videos. Okay. But it's really nice because you can make pizza with a Brazil nut, chia seed, broccoli crust, right? And I sneak all the veggies in with the grain, not the grains, the nuts and seeds, and make these amazing cracker, crunchy things like breads and crackers and tortillas and all this stuff. So it's a great, if you're like, oh, I don't want to go off of bread, but I know it's not really good for me, or I don't want to go off of whatever. I miss pizza. Right. It's a great way to do that. I don't use mine a lot, but when I do, it's so much fun. Right? It's just so much fun. And if you go into, you've got that, that gives you the basics. And then also in the Vital Health Healing Kitchen shows, you've got 6 years of archives. There were a bunch of them in there that did dehydration. And then in the Raw Food University, which you have access to, I think there's 14 classes there. There's one on breads that's super good. And then the Thanksgiving one shows various recipes with the dehydrator. So all those things are really cool.
Is there a specific one that you recommend or just go?
I would go to the bread one, the bread class.
As far as the dehydrator.
Oh, the dehydrator. Well, yeah, this is a good question. Who was it? She's not on here. Claudia was going through that, ordering one. So Excalibur has one and it's plastic and it's got the plastic trays. And some people are going, well, I don't want the plastic one. I want the one with the stainless steel trays. And then I think it's TriBest has one that has stainless steel trays and it actually has a clear glass kind of front so you can actually look in and see. So it's a lot more expensive. The TriBests are about probably $400 versus the Excalibur is about $225.
Okay. Lynn? So this is your first time doing it. I would go again to something like Craigslist or something to just play with it, but what you want to make sure is that it has an adjustable thermostat.
Yeah.
That's the key piece so that you can adjust the temperature.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. And I actually use my dehydrator to make yogurt. I put it down on the lowest setting, which is around 90, and I can just stick whatever containers I'm doing to make yogurt in there. I also have a yogurt maker, but if you don't have a yogurt maker and you're going to get a dehydrator, there's no reason to get the extra expense or the extra thing that takes up room on your counter is more for me. I did it anyway. I did it years ago because I always try things out because I want to see what the, what they do. Oh, the other thing that can make yogurt, speaking of yogurt, is the Instapot. You can do it in an Instapot. Okay. But the TriBest can be, TriBest is a good one. If I were to get another one, I'd probably get that TriBest. Yeah. Lynn?
Just to get yourself in the habit, and my first one I think was a Nesco round. I had bought the Paraflex lining and everything so that I could still make things, and and I really liked it, and it was like $30 on Craigslist. So I just really encourage people to do it that way rather than go out and spend $200-$400 on something. And then you go, I mean, that's why they end up on Craigslist.
Because people don't do it. Right. Juicers, a lot of juicers on Craigslist. They realize, oh my God, this is more work than I bargained for. I'm just going to go to the health food store and buy juice.
Exactly. So, and I want to put in a huge plug for Dr. Rita Marie's onion bread. Do it at night before you go to bed, and you wake up and you're like, oh, this is so, smells so good.
Yeah, there's so many great recipes in that book. It's so fun. And in addition, like, I like to make lasagna, and I make lasagna out of zucchini noodles. So rather than baking it, because I'm making a nut cheese, and you shouldn't really be heating those nuts and seeds. So I make a nut cheese, and I make all the layers, and I have the layers of zucchini, and I stick it in the dehydrator at like 120, 130 for about 2 hours. And it just shrinks it a little bit. It doesn't turn it into dehydrated food. It just gets rid of some of the moisture and the cheese and everything together. And I've actually made that. And a friend of mine said, I thought you didn't eat cheese. I thought you didn't eat much cooked food. And I'm like, yeah, this is raw vegan lasagna. And she's like, what? No kidding. And people love it. I actually had people who came to my classes years ago. And then one person said, I love your lasagna. Can I pay you to make your lasagna for this event that we're having at our synagogue? And I'm like, you just learned how to make it. You paid me $75 to be in my class. Why don't you just go make it? I want to impress them. And I know that yours will impress them. So I charged her a lot of money. I said, well, my time and all that, if you pay me $100, I'll make you a lasagna. She did. So I made her this lasagna, and she sat there licking the tray, and they wanted to know how to make it. And then she taught them how to make it. So anyway, it's kind of cool. It's fun like that. And like on cold days, it's a good warming thing. You know, it's just good to warm up soups and stuff like that. I mean, I'll put it on my stove too. And then I stick my thing in there. I don't like to heat. I'm not 100% raw foodist, but I don't like to heat anything fatty. Like the fats, they oxidize really easily, and that becomes inflammatory. So what I do is if I make a soup or even a smoothie on a cold day and I want to drink it, I'll put it in a pan, and I have this digital thermometer that I stick in that I got on Amazon, and I set it to 110 so it doesn't heat it past the point where it would cook it. And then I just wait, and it goes bing, 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 and I stir it and I eat it. Or I've made like a Thai curry soup with coconut, like fresh coconut as noodles, and then all these veggies and stuff in there. And I just heat it up just to that point where it's not cooked, but it's still got all the goodness, and it's phenomenal. You have to eat it right away. It's not like, you know, if it's heated to 112 or 212, like boiling, then it takes a while for it to cool down. If it's heated to 112, then you eat it right away. Otherwise, it cools down a little bit too much. But that's my thing. I love the dehydrator. When I use, I have two of them. I actually have three, but I gave one to a friend to borrow, and she hasn't given it back in years. I just let her use it. But because I don't need three. But when I do it, I like to make a lot of stuff. And usually I do it with when I'm doing a class. Like last year, did we do that? It was for ERC, right? I wonder if that recording can be made available to the new folks, because it was such a good day. We spent a day in the kitchen, and we just made stuff. And then a lot of it was dehydrated, and then the next day I pulled it out, and then I took pictures of everything and, you know, stacked it and made sandwiches and all this. It was so fun. Who was on that? Were you on that, Karen? No, I didn't know that. I don't see. Sarah was on there. I don't see Sarah. But anyway, Sandra, I think Sandra might have. Paula was on there. Jay was on there. That was really cool.
Yeah. And then so my daughter works at a movie theater, and we get free tickets. So I make the cauliflower popcorn, and I put that in the dehydrator, and it makes it, it gives it that same kind of consistency of, so.
Yeah, there's just so many things you can do with vegetables that resemble our like comfort foods. I love doing that, like cauliflower mashed potatoes, for example. So if I make cauliflower mashed potatoes and I eat them right away, they're hot. But then the next day, I may stick them in the refrigerator, but then I don't want to heat them because I've added a little flax oil or something. So instead, I might stick it in the dehydrator for an hour or two and just let it warm all the way through. So there's all kinds of stuff you could do with it. So. Cool.
Can I go back to Jeannie's keto question for a minute?
Sure.
Yeah, you said that Scott can handle more fruit than you. You've said that a few times. So is blood sugar not correlated to ketosis?
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a really good point that you're making. Like, he can handle more fruit without his sugar going up, but he puts it on his waist anyway. So that's the confusing part with him. I don't have a belly. He has a belly. But I can't eat fruit without my sugar going up, and he can. So there's some, you know, stuff we just don't understand, really. So he thinks he's handling it well, and he may not be, or it could be that his belly is from the cortisol that he tends to produce more than I do. So, yes, but the ketones, usually there's an inverse correlation. So as the ketones go up, the blood sugar comes down. And there's even a ratio that Dr. Pompa talks about a lot. He said you take your glucose number and you convert it to the standard international unit, so the Canadian and European numbers. So like our, like 100 is probably like, I don't know, 5.5 in that number. So you do the calculation, you convert it, and then you compare that to your ketones. And when the ketones become equal to that sugar in that rate, in that SI unit, then what you have is what he calls the, you begin to go into this maximum autophagy, which is the burning up of the gunk and the junk in your cells, right? So when you're fasting, when I'm fasting, I was getting up to 4 to 1. My ketones were 4 times my blood sugar, really. And so that was like, I'm like, baby, I'm, and stem cells regeneration. I mean, it does really cool stuff. So I'm thinking, oh, wow, I'm getting younger. My stem cells are regenerating. I'm cleaning up all the debris. I was really happy when I did that. That's not something you can sustain on a daily basis. That's why once a month, once every 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever, you do like what you did last week where you did 36 hours of fasting. Next time, maybe you'll go 48, 39. Yeah, let's give you those extra 3 hours. That makes a difference.
Practice.
Oh, good. You'll start measuring and see, right? And then if you go a little longer, and you don't have to completely fast to get in there, you can do a fasting mimicking diet, not necessarily eating that Prolon stuff, right? But that's basically a calorie restricted, higher fat, moderate protein, moderate carb diet. So they actually, on the Prolon, there's a lot more carb in there than I would ever eat, right? It's more because they have Rice Krispies something or other. I'm like, But you can do it with avocado. Amaya did it with avocado and green powder. Like she made green powder drinks and ate avocado, kept it to between 500 and 1100 calories. And she dropped weight and she got into ketosis, right?
For how many, 5 days you say in a row?
Yeah, you could do five days seems to be a good time where you're going to get into, ideally you get into this maximum autophagy at around 3 days. And then you have that 3, 4, 5 to really enjoy it. I was talking, I met somebody over the summer who runs a fasting retreat and he's gone 5 days. Nah, it's just the beginning. You got to go 21 days. I'm like, look, let's be realistic here, right? I mean, people can come to your fasting retreat and they can go 21 days, but people staying at home in their real life, we have to give them something practical that they can do. So don't poo-poo the 5 days, because I told them how I had done 5 days and I was getting weak and thin, you know, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to lose more weight, but I want to continue the cleansing. So I did 5 days. I ate for 3. I got some of my oomph back and then I did the 5 days again. And that worked really well for me. So there's no one perfect cleanse. There's no one perfect diet. There's no one perfect fasting regime. It has to do with who we are and how our chemistry works and how our this works, because this is a big part of it, like the fear of being hungry. You said that, like, well, what if I get hungry? All right, what if you get an itch on your butt in public? Are you going to scratch it? Like, you know, you just don't, right? There's things we just go, okay, so what? It's uncomfortable, but I'll deal with it. And what I like to say with the hunger is when you get real hungry, start to think of the biochemistry that's happening. Ghrelin, the hormone ghrelin gets produced. Oh, wow, the hormone ghrelin stimulates growth hormone. Yeah, it stimulates appetite, but it also stimulates growth hormone, figuring if you ain't going to eat right now, I'm going to burn some fat. Right? So growth hormone, what does it do? It burns fat, but it also stores lean. And most of us are out of balance in growth hormone because of so much insulin, right? So when we get into this mode of thinking, like for me, I was on this chocolate binge before I went away. It's like, you know, I'm having a little chocolate cacao because it got cold and I'm making my little chocolate coconut milk thing. And I was probably overdoing it. And I started to get one of these little cold sores on my lip. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, those cacao chocolates I was making, I was putting almond butter, I was putting chocolate. Those are high arginine foods. Arginine opposes lysine. Lysine helps to keep these at bay. So I'm like, okay. So all week long, I was like, but it's cold again. I want some hot cocoa. Nope, you're not having hot cocoa because you had too much of it. So it's just thinking things through in terms of what's it going to do in my body to maintain some of that self-control. So it doesn't become so much self-control. It just becomes some logical thinking. And I want this. I don't want that. Therefore, I'm going to go in this direction. Does that make sense? I don't know how we get on to that. But
no, yeah. And are there genetics for self-control? Like, seriously?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'll look that up and see. I think that it has to do with the brain and the accumbens, nucleus accumbens, right? And that has to do with the willpower. And what a lot of the research is now finding is that willpower is actually like a muscle. Right. And if you work it too hard, it gets fatigued and then it won't work anymore. And they actually studied this by putting people into a room and making them work really hard at doing something. But they had this bowl on the table of some kind of food and they were told, do not eat that. That's for the next group coming in. Right. And so they went through this whole thing and they're working on this puzzle. And then, you know, they leave, and then they go and they give them some other task that they should have been able to do. And it showed that their willpower was shot. It was completely shot. So it's, yeah, I think that has to do, I don't know exactly, but there's some brain chemical things I'm pretty sure that would have an effect on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll look it up before Shine because that would be a good thing to talk about.
Yeah, that research was done at Florida State University, if you wanted to look it up. And I think the researcher wrote a book on it.
I think you're right. I remember reading it in a book. What?
So I don't remember.
One thing, was it? Was it?
But just if you research Florida State University.
Okay.
And willpower.
Willpower. Yeah.
There is actually a study. It's based on the Achenbach system of empirically based assessment. It was done with. It's actually done in the Netherlands. They did it on 20,000 children, and they were in the twins. They were twins, and it showed that genetic influences accounted for 64% to 75% of the variance of control.
Yeah, be interesting to see. We'll look up self-control SNP. Mm. See if you see any SNPs related to self-control. SNPedia might have something. So yeah, Edie, it looks like you were going to say something more on that or on something.
Oh, I mean, we can continue on that topic. I have some thoughts on it because I first learned about it from Susan Pierce Thompson for Bright Light. And so that the one at Florida State was the radish test. But if you think about the marshmallow test with the kiddos, I don't know if you guys have heard that study where the little ones were put in a room and told, you know, don't eat this marshmallow. And if you don't eat it, when I come back, you can have two. Or you can eat it and just have the one, you know. And so the kids that had self-control and didn't eat the marshmallow and waited for the second and delayed gratification had success and cool and so forth going forward in life. So there must be a bit of a genetic component, but then it's learned as well.
Yeah.
So the kids that didn't have the self-control or, you know, wanted the instant gratification, which would have been me, and just went ahead and ate the one, you can still train yourself. So anyway, I think it's interesting too. But
yeah, I think it's fascinating. Yeah, definitely think you can train yourself, but that's where the self-control comes in, right? And I believe for me, because I don't really feel like I have self-control, all right? People think, oh my God, you have so much self-control. I don't agree with that. If I want something, I want it and I want it now. Right. But what I do have is the ability to shift my focus of what I really want based on what my long-term needs are. And that wasn't always the case. I mean, I'm somebody who didn't eat one Oreo cookie. I ate the whole package, right? If you bought the chocolate bar and you're going to have one, people say, I just have one little square every day. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Like, if I buy one of those Lily's bars that are stevia sweetened vegan, right? And I'm going to have one little square a day for a week, it's gone in an hour or less. You know, I take the square off and I put it back. And I go, well, I'll just have a second one. You know, there's not a lot of calories in that. It's vegan and it's stevia sweet. You know, and I end up eating the whole thing. So I don't have the control because I don't have anything in my head that's going, this thing's really bad for me, right? I'm thinking, oh, it's stevia. It's, you know, it's chocolate. It's cacao. You know, it's good for me. But whereas if that was a, I don't know, a Hershey's milk chocolate with all the crap that they have in it and the real sugar and not real sugar, but processed sugar, I would have, I'm no interest in it. It could sit there all day long in front of me and I will not be tempted because it doesn't take me to my long-term goal. And it'll take me away from my long-term goal. Whereas the Lily's, maybe it's not going to take me to my long-term goal, but it's certainly not going to take me away from it. That's how my thinking is, right? Oh, I'll just go eat a handful of cacao nibs and put it in my almond butter and sweeten it with some stevia drops, right? So I can't, I don't have control when it comes to stuff like that because I'm like, oh, you know, well, they'll go, wait a minute. I can't have more than 2 ounces of this because it's going to throw off my omega-6-3 balance, right? So the more you know, the more your logic can come in and override some of those pathways, right? But yeah, I think it's really important that we tune in to what we want the most and just keep that, the eye on that. A friend of mine would say, keep your eye on the prize. Just keep your eye on the prize. There's going to be all kinds of other stuff that's going to come along and try to distract you away. Keep your eye on the prize and just keep heading in that direction. But it's going to be different for everybody to figure out those methods, right? Good. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Mary, you had a question and I want to ask you more about that too. Yeah, who did I hear a number from? Mary, you asked a question about should you go off your baby aspirin?
Right.
And I'm going to have to say, I can't give you advice on whether you should go off your baby aspirin. What I can say is you can sit down with why are you taking it? Was it recommended by your doctor or was it something you read about? Right. So that makes a difference. If it was recommended by your doctor, I'm going to have to say, go talk to your doctor, but make a list of pros and cons. What are the advantages of staying on? But what are some of the alternatives I'm doing instead? Well, instead of baby aspirin, I'm taking 2 grams a day of omega-3 fats, right? Which has been shown in that with vitamin E to have, you know, a better effect. But if it was recommended by your doctor, I'd recommend you do a little research on that. Like, what are the downsides? What is the danger of the baby aspirin a day? And yeah, it's a small dose, but it can affect your gut. It can rip a hole in the lining of your stomach. And is it really addressing the root problem, right? So just sit with it in your own mind. If your doctor didn't recommend it and you just decided to do it one day, then you get to be the one that chooses, right? You get to be the one that says, hey, look at the pros, look at the cons. I think I'm going to not do it for a little bit, right? But I can't advise you on that because it's outside the scope of what I do.
Right. Yeah, my doctor did, but it was more for the platelets than for the high cholesterol and stuff like that. So that's what I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts were on it. But
yeah, my thoughts would be to replace it functionally. Like, what's the purpose that he gave it to you for or she recommended it for? Okay, what can I do to give myself the same or better protection by some dietary choices or some other supplement choices or herbs or whatnot? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Who else has questions?
So I've got a quick question, Dr. Rittimarie.
Yes,
so, I want to talk about this a little bit last time too, but, and obviously I'm on a little different journey here because I'm trying to gain weight. So the discussion's a little different, but, and I'm having some success doing that, right? So in the last, I want to try to gain a pound a week is what Lisa and I have been talking about. And so I'm eating that extra 500-ish calories a day. I added a couple of smoothies, you know, fairly healthy smoothies to my diet on top of you know, fairly healthy eating, but it's a lot of, right? It's a lot of food and a lot of eating. Should I expect, and I'm playing around with, you know, my, and I was putting some of this in the, on the ERC Facebook, site this week. So thanks for everybody that was sort of responding back. And, but you know, my readings are wacky on the glucose with the Libra, and now I'm doing both the blood and the sensor, because I kind of got the sense the sensor was out of whack, and in fact I ultimately pulled it off and put a new one on, and that, because I was getting these differences of, you know, 40,
that's not right,
40 point 30 and 40 point differences between the interstitial and the blood glucose. Mm-hmm. And the swings just seemed too dramatic. And I switched. I just started a new sensor yesterday, and actually brought it down a little bit. But as I'm gaining this pound, you know, let's say I'm gaining a pound a week, and over a month I've gained 4, 5, 6 pounds. Should I expect, just as a result of that, my baseline glucose is probably going to raise a little bit? Is it going to be, am I going to need period adjustment?
It doesn't have to.
I'm not going
to
hit that equilibrium until I sort of stop the weight gain and maintain it for a little bit, and then maybe take it, you know, do I need to do this in stair step? Does that make any sense?
Great question. Yeah, it does make sense, and it's a good question. But I think that, you know, it depends on how you're gaining the weight. If you're gaining the weight by adding fats to your diet versus carbs to your diet, I would expect the glucose to either stay the same or start to come down, right? But if you're overeating, right, if you're stuffing yourself and you're walking around like, oh my God, I'm stuffed, it doesn't matter what you ate, whether it was carby or fatty or protein, you're going to raise your glucose, just because that's what happens, because it's extra calories. So, but if you're eating it spread throughout the day versus all at one time, and you're not walking around feeling overly stuffed at any point in time, and you're, you know, keeping the carbs down and the glucose up and keeping the ketones, I don't think you should see a shift in that at all.
Okay.
I think you should be fine. Now, the other thing I would say is, if the Libre, they're very good customer support. So if you took that one off, and it's probably too soon to tell because it's only been 8 hours, but play with it for a couple of days and call them and say, look, I yanked this thing because I thought it wasn't right, and this one's way better. I think I had a bum sensor. They'll send you a new sensor.
Okay.
Right? They're very good. And if that's happening while you have it on, you call them and say, I think something's wacky with this. Right now I took my glucose. Do you have these, the little strips they make for the Libre that you
can? Yeah. I'm using those. And so one thing I'm finding, I think even with both sensors, is that regardless, at any point in time, if I do a finger prick, you know, the blood glucose is always 15 to 20 points lower than the interstitial.
Shouldn't be.
If I get 120, I'll be at a, you know, interstitial, I'll be at 100 with blood or low.
Something screwy with that. It could be the placement, and they can guide you through that. Maybe the placement needs to be different. And it could just be a bum sensor, so you try another sensor. But they'll replace it. They're very good at that. But mine is, unless it's while if I've just eaten and my sugar's starting to go up, then they're going to be off. But
yeah, it's not, it can't catch up to it.
12 point, but 20 would be at the outset, but 12. But if I test them in between, they're within 3 to 5 points of each other. And that's with multiple meters. Now, there's certain meters that are a little higher. Like, I find that the Relion, while it's a very reliable meter in terms of you do 5 pricks in a row, it's all going to be within a few points, it does tend to be 8 to 10 points higher than the Freestyle Libre, the Keto Mojo, or the our old favorite, the True to Go. And I just got some True to Go's that we didn't realize we had at the warehouse at our fulfillment place when we did a class. And unfortunately, the strips on, at least the first one I opened, expired September 2018. But so far, they seem pretty consistent. I've tested them out. So I may bring them to Shine and see if anybody wants to try out.
I may go pick up another cheaper, less expensive, blood glucose meter. So I can compare it to the blood reading I'm getting out of the Libre, so that I can compare that against the interstitial reading.
Well, I found that the Libre blood was very similar within 2 or 3 points of the True to Go. And that seems to be the most accurate. And I know several people here have taken the True to Go, tested, gone in and gotten the blood drawn, and then tested after. And they're like all within a couple of points. So it's pretty accurate. But I will say that if you get the Rely-On, it seems to be pretty reliable from one reading to the next, but usually 8 to 10 points higher than what the other meters show. But it's cheap. It's like $19 for 100 strips and, you know, like $12 for the meter itself. So it's easy to do. These are fairly expensive as strips go. I think these are closer to 50 cents to a dollar, and the Keto Mojos are a little bit more expensive as well. So, yeah. Are you doing Keto Mojo yet? Are you doing the ketones yet?
Am I?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that would be a good thing.
No, I haven't really spent any. I haven't yet. It's just,
yeah. And you'd want to not be going into ketosis at this point because ketosis drives fat loss.
Yeah, I've been really pretty singularly focused on I gaining the weight and doing it, you know, eating as healthy as I can.
Right.
Which I am, I mean, for the most part. So, and tracking it. And so I was just sort of curious, you know, as I get to the point where I'm gaining over the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, as I'm gaining, you know, at that point, if I've gained 10 or 12 pounds, let's say over a 10 or 12 week period, I'm just sort of, I'm a little nervous as to how my body's going to react to all of that. Cholesterol, you know, I mean, can you gain
weight that fast? Well, it depends on how you're doing it. Like I said, if you're doing it with too many carbs, you could see an increase in cholesterol, triglycerides for sure. If you're doing it with too much animal fat, then you could see a shift in your lipid numbers. So do it really healthfully with plant-based fats and the protein powders like we talked about, because you need to get your protein up in order to put on muscle. You need to have your protein up. I would keep an open mind. I would keep positive about it because it's slow enough that you're not going to put this sudden strain on you. I mean, people go on binges around Thanksgiving and gain 5 pounds in a week, right?
Yeah.
Eating all this stuff, right? You're going a pound a week. If anything starts to feel off, you know, slow down, right? If your blood sugar seems to be consistently getting higher, then maybe you just slow down for that week and just see if it settles down. But unless you're eating potatoes to gain weight, which would put weight on, it's going to throw your sugars off, right? If you're eating popcorn, if you're eating chips, if you're eating some of those unhealthy foods, right? I mean, if you just started eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on Wonder Bread 4 times a day, I could see you, and Ronzoni macaroni for dinner. I could see you gaining weight, but ain't going to be the right kind of weight.
All right. No, I'll stay the course.
Okay. Good job. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Questions, comments?
Edie said she had a test that she'd like you to review.
Who?
The email.
I'm sorry, I missed the name. You're very, very garbled.
Edie.
Oh, Edie has a test. Oh, okay. What test is it and where do I get it?
Hey there. I just loaded it up to my Google Drive. I don't know if, I don't know how long this call was planned for and I didn't get it. Reminder, I wish I had known I would have submitted my interest.
I submitted that as a teamwork task to check into
that. Oh, thanks, Lynn. Appreciate that.
Not getting her ERC either.
She's not getting what?
The newsletter, at least not that I saw.
Well, I did get the Friday newsletter. That's how I knew about this call. That's the only thing that mentioned this call, though, that I've received.
So you didn't get the message that said if you want a text message, you can...
Well, I got that, but it didn't send me any text reminders. I just got the how do we notify you, you know, request opt-in.
Did you just say text or did you say text and email?
I said both.
Okay. So we need to look in that campaign to see where she is, because you're getting stuff. It's not like you're, you know, so that's where I was told, Lynn, we have to find out all the little minute details, because when we're dealing with programming, you have to know where, so you know where to look in there. So we'll look to see if she's in those sequences. Now, there sounds like there's an error in Jeff's, and I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to fix the one with
the reminders. With
the text reminders, because he has this thing, this weird code that he wrote, and it interfaces with some other software, so I can't fix it. The emails I could fix. I know how to do that, but I don't know how to do the others. So anyway, I've got this. Let me see if I got it.
Is it in your labs? Yeah, it is, and it's the PDF, and it's from 9/26.
ED Labs to date. Is that the one? And then
should be an ED Labs.
What kind of lab is it?
GIFX Genova.
All right, I am not seeing it. Oh, wait.
Do you see ED Labs?
Yeah, ED Labs. I see ED Labs to date. Is that the one?
Put it in.
All labs to date.
Ew.
Here's one summary of tests. Lisa, 2000 last year. Yeah, I'm not seeing it. Let me just go back to the beginning, because it looked like it was looking at last year's folder, which should be.
I did put it in last year's folder. I saw one for me. I went into my Google Drive and I tried.
Let me go back again. I'm seeing Edie. Edie Hermes. Okay. Okay, I'm going to share my screen and you could tell me if this is what, is that okay if I do that?
Yeah, did you find, does it just?
I didn't, but you're going to help me find it.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. All right, so this is what I see.
Never mind, that's
2017. Do you have a headset or something, Lynn? Because you're so garbled. It's like you're far away from your mic. I don't know what's happening. Really? You
know what? I don't know. Maybe I didn't get it in the ERC. I put it under ED Labs, but it was just called ED Labs. It wasn't called To Date.
ED Labs To Date? Labs? ED
yeah, it wasn't called.
Let's see. I can find it.
And it was.
There's an item in the trash that matches this search. That's interesting. Let me look in the trash. Why would it be in the trash? All right, let me just look in here. Labs, ED Labs to date. No, why don't you just send it? Do you have Skype on your computer?
Yeah, I do. See,
you can email it, but I'm not seeing it.
I mean, who do you want me to email it to? Because I could just pull it up from my email real quick.
Yeah, email it to erc@drritamarie.com.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it. You know, if there might be another, I think there was somebody had two separate labs and I spent like an hour trying to sort them through and.
Yeah, I don't know where I saved it unless I have.
I'm going to look to see.
Would I have potentially a personal, okay, I just sent it to erc@drritamarie.com. Is that correct?
So you might have your own, you might put it on your own drive, ED Labs.
I went under the link that you guys gave me in the email for my. You know, for my ERC Google Drive. I went to the email.
ERC.
But I just emailed it to you.
Okay, I'll go look. It takes about 5 minutes by the time anything comes from my email. So
I can kind of fill you in if you want while you're waiting on that.
Give me 1 second.
My questions.
Edie. All right. Nope, this is where I was before. Edie, I don't see anything that says Edie Labs.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Okay, check. Let me see if it
for future reference, should I just put it in ED labs to date, even though that's from last year?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where the ED labs is. I don't see it anywhere.
Well, check in that ED labs to date one more time. I mean, just.
All right, let's look in there. It just came.
Okay, let's just look at it and figure it out later where I put it. Because I could see all my other labs in there, but again, maybe I have two folders of all my labs.
Yeah, but I didn't see two folders. That's the thing. Here's the Genova. I'm going to open it and upload it to you.
Okay, so it's the one from 9/26/18.
9/26/18. Yeah, I see it here now. Okay. Now file, save as. I'll just save it and then I'll upload it to your Google Drive so it's there. Where we think it is. So client folders and ERC ED. Okay, I'm saving that. And then I'm going to go into your... I don't think you're seeing my screen right now, but now you are, right? All right, so I'm going to say new file upload, and I'm going to find it where I just put it seconds ago. Here we go.
New file upload, okay.
There it is.
Okay,
you see it?
Mm-hmm.
So I will, yeah, this is a hard one to do if I don't see it, if you're just asking me, because, you know, I'm very.
Yeah, happy. I did a little bit of like Google research on.
All right. So what are you seeing that you have questions about?
Okay. I guess the two big things. I'm really high in beta glucuronidase, and that's concerning because I started taking estrogen in January. And it has to do with how you detoxify your hormones. And I've had this test before. I think that I have some imbalances because, you know, I had that surgery 6 months ago and then I was on antibiotics after infection. So I must have just messed up some things with that antibiotic run. The other interesting thing is is it high in Firmicutes and low in Bacteroides? It's one or the other. You know, they're good commensal bacteria, but it's really, really dysbiotic. So
yeah.
I heard that can be an indication of SIBO, which we know I tested a year ago on that as having SIBO. And that, so I don't want to just start supplementing. Okay, back to the beta-glucuronidase. There's a lot of lactobacillus bacteria that they say if you supplement, it'll help you to improve your detoxification. But I don't want to be doing that if I have SIBO. You know, I don't want to inflame SIBO. So yeah. I was ready to do the stool. I'm not the stool, but the suppository thing that I heard you talk about. I ordered the little.
Oh, yeah, to make the suppository.
Yeah, I ordered some pellets and I ordered the little syringe sticks. I was going to make my own suppository one so as to not aggravate SIBO, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. And which bugs to use and how much.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of Bacteroides out of balance wise.
That's the one that's like, I guess it's funny to me because that's the one that's more associated with leanness if I'm not.
That's right. That's right.
I feel like I gain weight so easily if I eat 3 extra Brazil nuts.
Okay, so you've got some Firmicutes that are high, just this one, but it's pretty high. Okay, and then that one's low.
So no parasites, doesn't even look like yeast in the stool, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, these look okay. And no lower parasites, which is good.
No Giardias or any of that.
The inulin's good. So the leaky gut indicator. It's one of the leaky gut indicators. Anyway.
Yeah, so it looks like I couldn't interpret that. So it looks like neutral kind of in terms of leaky gut.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you had a leaky gut, you'd probably see elevations.
Okay.
In the inulin because there's some breakdown of the wall. H. pylori is negative. All the bad stuff is negative. So that's all good. So it's just a matter of getting balance here. So I think that, you know, you can restore balance. Let me see where the lactose are a little on the low side. E. coli. Okay. Where's the bifidobacter? Bifido. Ah, okay. So this is a huge problem.
I know. And this is a culture though. I mean, this is, I didn't understand how this different than they reference them above as well. And I couldn't.
Well, there's different species, so we'll look to see what that is. Okay. So just based on this, I would start with a pure bifidobacter. You can take it oral, right? Because it won't implant in your small intestine. It just can't.
Oh, okay. So
I would get, like, Custom Probiotics has a powder, and they have the little scoop, yeah. And you just build yourself up. And I would build yourself to the point where you're doing 200 to 400 billion organisms a day for 5 to 7 days. And then you can break it down to back it off.
400 B.
Yep.
5 to 7 days.
Yep. And they have it's a bifidobacter combo that has four different species.
Mm-hmm. I've ordered it before.
Okay.
I used the bottle, but that was before my surgery. So I killed them all.
Yeah. So if you, exactly. So these are just, let me just look here. And you do have a couple of inflammatory markers. So this is this secretory IgA. Your body is definitely fighting something, right? So it's trying to restore balance in those bacteria. Got a little bit of extra fecal fat. So it's either you're eating way too many and you're exceeding your body's ability to digest it, or you're not digesting it.
Right? Yeah, I'd say digestion.
What's that?
It's probably a digestion. I was on it. I had started in a... This is before I started my elimination diet. I don't know. I guess I think it's probably digestion.
Most likely, that's usually what it is. So I would look at supporting your liver to be able to produce the bile. Now, there's a couple of ways you can do it. Bitters will definitely stimulate both stomach acid, and the stomach acid will help kill off bacteria and yeast and whatnot as they come through, but also help you to absorb your protein and your minerals better. So I would look at bitters. They tend to be a low compliance item. I'll just be right there with you that a lot of people have trouble doing it and remembering all the time. The other thing is to get an enzyme that's higher in lipase.
Yeah. So
especially if you're eating anything fatty at all, that you would take a digestive enzyme either. If you already take a general digestive enzyme, just get a pure lipase. There are some that are higher in lipase. Lipo Gold is what I've heard really good results with. But just take that with all your fattier meals. And then as far as the secretory IgA, HeartMath helps a lot. There's been studies where the secretory IgA goes away. It just shifts a lot. Actually, it goes in the other direction. So let me just... I think with the secretory IgA, we just need to get the bacteria balanced. Never mind what I just said. And this list, it looks like it's overwhelming, but it's basically telling you that if this particular thing is high, it's high in these particular clinical
reasons. Right? I really don't have high blood pressure, but I have
IBS, IBD, metabolic syndrome, chronic fatigue, autoimmune, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, mood disorders. So, you know, some of these do apply. So we do want to get that thing under control. I like to start with starving them out. So I would recommend you get the bifidobacter. And let me just look and see some of the lactose. I would get the bifidobacter, and maybe they also have it custom. They have a D-lactate free combo.
Yeah, I have that one in my refrigerator right now.
You have that? Well, that's a safe one to start taking orally.
Okay.
Because it will not feed anything that's overgrowth in your intestine. So you do those. You do those for a couple of weeks to a month to really get those colonies dying down. And then you can play with other things. Like if you want to play with how do I deal with sauerkraut or how do I deal with, you know, kefir or something, you take a spoonful. And if it causes you to get all bloated, then it's probably feeding something in your small intestine. But if you can actually slowly increase those amounts, then you likely don't have SIBO.
So I'm concerned about the elevated beta glucuronidase. Do you feel like dysbiosis is contributing to that?
Very well, yeah, absolutely.
That just popped up.
Absolutely.
For what I should be doing until I get my bacteria balanced, because that sounds kind of dangerous since I'm taking estrogen cream.
Yeah. Let me just.
Was it early on?
They give you numbers here? Because high is not telling me a whole lot.
Where is it?
How high is it? Okay, beta glucuron a day.
Can you do a control find? I don't know if that would help. Because it was.
Now, here it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so the range is 368 all the way up to 6266, and yours is 8,000.
Yeah,
that's so about 20%, you know, 25% over the top end of the range.
Yeah, I looked up a bunch of things to help that, and it was all this lactobacillus bacteria.
Well, that's why I'm telling you to get I don't know if it tells you the specific strains, but yeah, there's a bunch of different delactate-free lactose in the delactate-free one. So that's where I would start. I would start by trying to get this thing in balance. You got good amounts of, you know, your butyrate, your acetate, propionate. They're in decent ratios. I'd love to see more butyrate, less acetate, but... no big deal. We see acetate a little higher when people tend to flip in and out of ketogenic type diets, you know, low carb type diets. We see acetate go up, which can be a source of fuel to the colonic bacteria. Yeah, that's what I would do. That's where I would start.
Okay, so I just got this
inflammatory stuff, right? So looking at things that could calm things down in your gut. So, I mean, turmeric, if you tolerate turmeric well, ginger, boswellia. Boswellia is really good for intestinal inflammation.
So, you know what? I have been taking this thing by Pure called Phyto-4, and it has boswellia and ginger and turmeric. And I was taking it before this test, and I was on an elimination diet. I had started the elimination diet 10 days prior to the test, so I was not doing any of the inflammatory, no dairy, eggs, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and so I was doing all those things, and this is still what turned up.
Well, but you don't know what it was before that. These are not high levels.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? They're just mildly elevated.
Yeah.
So I just keep doing it because it's a good chance that that's been helping.
So Donna Gates sent an email today about this new ecophage, the bacteriophage supplement that's supposed to be great for SIBO and IBS. Do you know anything about that?
The I don't, but I'll get to forward her email weeks and I'll ask her about it. Yeah, forward it to me.
Okay, because I was thinking the powders are just hard to do because I have to basically always be, I don't know, mixing it into something, a smoothie or something, and something that's not too hot.
Mm.
I just don't know what this is. Not a pro. Well, maybe it is a probiotic. I'll let you look at it. I was gonna. Okay.
Yeah, send it to me.
That might be an option. But
I'm gonna be at Shine in a couple of weeks. So
yeah, I knew that you all were in contact, but
yeah. You can ask about it. Yes, forward it to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, oh, the fats need to get dealt with. The fats are.
What's your recipe if I was going to do the suppository thing for?
Oh, good question. Yeah. Let me get rid of this. Here. So for the suppositories, and for those of you who haven't heard me speak about them before, if somebody has SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and you take a typical probiotic, certain strains, most strains of lactobacillus will grow really well once the SIBO starts to get out of control, and they'll grow really well in that environment. Some bacteria won't grow in that environment, like bifidobacterium. They just make their way down to the large intestine where they belong. So we recommend that you either take a delactate-free probiotic, which is very few companies sell, or you can take your probiotic and shove it up the other way because they need to land in your large intestine, right? So you can make them in suppository form. And what I would typically do, you could go coconut butter or cacao butter. I prefer cacao butter because it has a higher melting point. So with coconut, if you leave coconut at room temperature, they're going to pretty much stay dissolved unless it's cold in the house, right? So you'd have to keep it in the fridge. The thought of sticking a cold suppository up your butt doesn't sound real appealing. But if you don't mind that, then you can do that, right? So you can do it in coconut oil or you can do it in cacao butter. You melt it and then you scoop out your probiotic. I would do... it's hard to say how much is in there, but I would say maybe a quarter cup of the coconut or cacao butter, let's say, mixed with, trying to think of how many will hold. That would probably make one in each. I would say an eighth of a cup. Go with an eighth of a cup of the melted cacao butter and then put in, see how much each one, like comparatively, like if an eighth of a cup is going to make 12 suppositories, then you want 12 capsules or the equivalent of 12 servings. So I would put like 100 billion per, 50 to 100 billion per capsule. So, you know what I mean? So you have to measure out how much is in your probiotic with how much is there.
Okay. Gotcha. Per mold.
Yeah. I mean, it's variable. It's, you know, you just play with it and see. But you do want to have, I would say, at least 50 billion to 100 billion to really make them potent. Because you're going to lose some. Some of it's going to drip out. That sort of thing.
Sure. I can't remember what I ordered, but they came in little pellets. Like if it was cacao butter or shea butter or something, but it was one.
Well, cacao butter can come in little.
Pellets. So I was going to use my dehydrator to melt it.
Yeah, dehydrated and melted, or a double boiler, but dehydrator works. Yep.
And then
my guess would, see how many, melt one pellet. See how many of those little molds it fills.
Yeah.
And then you'll know, like, okay, my thing holds 12 pellets. I want to fill it. So how many little discs do you have to melt? And then melt it so that there's 50 to 100 billion in each of them. So if it's 12, you'd want to have 600 to 1200 billion. Mm-hmm. With the custom, each of the little tiny scoops is 200. So it's really going to be probably, you know, four scoops or something.
Okay.
Put in there. Okay. You melt it and then you pour them in. And then with the cacao butter, you can leave it at room temperature, and probably in 15 to 30 minutes, it'll harden. If you are going with the coconut, I'd stick it in the fridge. But then if this time of year, the house might be a little chillier than it is in the summer.
Yeah.
So you might be able to leave them at room temperature, but I think you might need to put them in to actually get them to congeal without taking 3 days.
And then my other question about that was, I had the brilliant of the idea of, why not add a prebiotic to the mix so that they'd have some.
Yeah, you can certainly do that, because typically speaking, you get in trouble with the prebiotics if you do have SIBO and they're up high, right? And they start to feed stuff up high rather than waiting to get down there. So that's not a bad idea. You can put in inulin powder. You can put in FOS, if you can get FOS powder. Even chicory root powder. There's a number you can get.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else? Questions, comments? How can I help you? How can I support you? Yeah, Diana. Oops, unmute. Oops, I just muted you. Sorry. There we go.
Hey, Dr. Reamer. I had one particular test result that you specifically asked me to get special, which is the fibrinogen. There's no place to put it on the tracker.
And I put it at the, remember where I showed you how to go to the bottom of the tracker?
Right.
Add it there and put the little, put the ranges that are on the test, and then put your number in there. But it came out normal, didn't it? Because we talked about this on call before.
I mentioned it in one of the emails to Adrena that she forwarded to you.
You must have forwarded.
What I found was that it was real close to the high range, so I checked some other lab results to see if there were a lot of variations, and seemed to be a lot of variations in the between labs as to what the result was. It ranged everywhere from 350 up to like 650 for that maximum range.
Give me one second. I'm going to look in my Dickin Weatherby book and a couple of others that I have here that are more alternative and see if he has it. Or this one. This is actually... Next one's Wilson's Temperature Syndrome. Sorry, wrong book. Encyclopedia of Lab Tests. So we'll look up fibrinogen. What you looked up, was it conventional sources or was it?
It was just all the different laboratories. They had direct labs. They had the Quest. It seemed like every lab had a different range.
I'm going to look up more the people that are into functional. Let's see. Fibrinogen. clear. Why doesn't he have the numbers? He just says what high and, here we go. Oh, no, he just has some star. I don't see where he says what the ranges are. That's kind of interesting. Let's see if he has another chart in here. It doesn't help. He says, okay, if it's high, it means this. If it's low, it means this. But he doesn't tell you what the ranges are. That's kind of weird.
That was the one that was related to the clumping problem that I've been having.
Yeah. Was it, that's why I asked you to get it. But I was hoping it wasn't going to be ultra high. Let me just look it up real quick.
It's 414, and the lab range was 175 to 425. So it's real close to the 425.
Yeah, it's really close to the high end.
And a couple of the other lab ranges, it was over, so.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a few ideas.
Okay.
For reducing it, so even though it's not, okay, yeah, like here, 149 to 353, 153, 150 to 400.
It's over.
So I'm going to go back here to page 118, and I'm going to give you some ideas from Dr. Michael Wald, who has a really nice book on laboratory, functional laboratory. So and it, again, the inflammation, we got to get those, the inflammation. So here's a few things. You're already doing quercetin.
Yep.
You're not doing vitamin E.
Yeah, I am.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, E-gems.
Okay.
All eight forms.
We already talked about ginger, EPA. I told you to go up to 2 grams. We can go up, you know, we can go up from there too. His recommendation is 2 to 4 grams. D-limonene, which you can get in lemon oil. Do you do any essential oils?
Yeah.
Yep. The lemon. Lemon essential oil. It could be lemon, lime, you know, grapefruit, any of those have D-limonene, but the lemon does have the best. NAC, which you just started. So you're on the right track with a lot of the things you're doing. Quercetin, you're already doing. Do you do any milk thistle?
Yeah, I do. Quite frequently.
Do you, frequently or not?
Capsule. Pardon?
Capsule. You know, with that, you can do it as food.
Yeah, I know. I do the tincture on a regular basis, almost daily.
Okay.
I have a combination for the, it's called my liver tonic, and it's got milk thistle, silly marilyn, that is the milk thistle, dandelion, and a slippery elm. Okay. And burdock, forgot the burdock.
All right. So, you know, the main thing on here that you're not doing, limonene on a regular basis, 200 milligrams a day. I'm not sure exactly how much would be in the lemon essential oil. Lemon peel has it too. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll juice my lemons and I save the peels. I cut them and I put them in the dehydrator and dry them and then make them into a powder and then add that powder to whatever else might be going on. And then the EPA, you know, doubling your EPA.
Right. I was going to do that anyway.
Yeah. That's right. So we were on the right track with all of this.
Fantastic. Okay. So what exactly is that fibrinogen? What is it?
It's a clotting factor. So it's, I'll read you what it says here, right? It's a plasma protein. It's manufactured by your liver. It gets converted when it gets enzymatically acted upon. It converts to fibrin along with the platelets, forms a clot, right? So if you have high levels of it, you're going to be more likely to clot, which with those high blood RBCs and all that. That's why I asked you to get it tested with the red blood cells and all that. We want to make sure you're not also in a tendency to clot.
Okay. Yeah, I was having a clotting problem where I wasn't able to clot because I didn't have enough platelets. And I had come up with the theory that now that I'm clumping, my body must come up with some way to come up with glue to make them more sticky or something.
Make them
now they're clumping together. But that's exactly what you just said. So that makes sense.
And the thing is, it doesn't require vitamin K. So, you know, other clotting factors require vitamin K. So,
okay.
Cool. Yeah. So I think just like trying to get it down, keeping your blood clean, you know, the well oxygenated, the higher omega-3s to get the thinning, right? And we talked about natokinase today too, remember?
Right. And I found it. Yep.
You did. Okay, good. And just start with small amounts of that in between meal.
Okay, in between.
If it upsets your stomach when you do that, do it at the end of the meal. Like, you know, eat. Or because you don't want it to act on the whole meal, just do it towards the end when you just have a little bit of stuff left in your stomach.
Okay.
Okay, but best is on an empty stomach if you can.
Got it.
Okay. And all those things will be protective.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I'm done.
Who else? Questions? Jeannie?
Dr. Rita Marie, I had just one question about, they sent me the requisitions today to have a lot of the tests that are included done. Yes. But we had talked about doing some of them now and some of them in January.
Right.
So can I call them and see if they can kind of separate it instead of, they sent me all the forms.
Oh, it was all on one.
And well, it's actually on.
Because it was three separate tests, I think. Anyway.
I think there's four papers.
Okay.
But some of them were mixed. Like, and I wasn't sure. They have something called the Cardio IQR. And so is that advanced lipid or?
Really? They included that?
I think so.
Wow. They're giving me more than I bargained for because what I had agreed with them on was the thyroid plus the CBC plus the full chem panel.
Right.
And then the hemoglobin A1C and CRP.
Okay. So I've got the hemoglobin A1C on one paper, and then that cardio thing is on one paper.
Does it say what specific, or it just says cardio IQ, or?
It says cardio IQR, and then that one, this one, because that's on here again, this one says the CRP. So the CRP and the hemoglobin are on those two sheets, and then I have a lipid panel cardio IQR. And then I have a cardio IQR vitamin D. So I didn't know if those all have to be done at the same time, if that's all like one test.
Can you scan those and send, or take a picture of them and send them to me? Because that's confusing to me, and I just want to have it so I can ask Dr. Hopkins.
Okay,
Dr. Marie? Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
I have my form here, and it lists all four of those cardiac IQRs on there. Homocysteine, omega-3, vitamin D.
You got something different, Lynn Rose. You did you bought his big panel.
Right.
Right. With what Jeannie has is what we included with the ERC Golden Gold Pluses.
Oh, it's different.
So it was different. So I wonder if they got the tests mixed up. Did anybody else get theirs? Did you get yours? What is yours similar, Kimberly?
I bought everything new, not knowing that we get anything with our program. So
that's fine.
Can I use the ones that we get with the program in later. 6 months?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I told most people because they already did their labs. That was the follow-up. And that really was my intent. That was really my intent, because what I find is people get all these labs at the beginning gung-ho, and then they don't want to go back and spend money again to get the repeat. So I thought, okay, I'll get them to do that, and now we'll get you to do it.
Okay, so see, I'm doing it right. You guys are messed up, confusing it. But I don't. These people are so on top of it that I don't know what they're talking about, so I'll be quiet now. Okay.
No, you're good. You're good. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, well, I guess that kind of makes sense then, because maybe the sheet that has all the thyroid and the CNP and all those things, maybe that's the sheet that just gets saved until January.
That was the one I said to save till January. Yeah.
Okay. So I this paper will still be good. I can.
That'll be good. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, then that makes sense. That's probably what it is. The like I said, it's on three different sheets. or four different sheets.
You know what it might be? That they normally have that as part of a panel, and they're just checking off just that individual, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because like I said, like the one says, it says the cardio IQR, and then it, but it, next to it has vitamin D, which I think that vitamin D is part of that whole.
Huh. Yeah, because the D is part of the, yeah, I don't know how he does it. I have to see it to know.
Yeah. So that does, I think that does make sense, but I can send those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to print mine out because I got the panel that Lynn Rose got, which was like a special for practitioners, and it had all of it, and yeah.
Okay.
I can get that done.
So yeah, so that makes sense. And I think that's it.
Good. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Questions, comments, ideas? No? Sarah didn't make it. She said she was coming. Okay. Edie, do you have anything else?
Hey. Yeah, I just see me reaching over my computer. I do have two quick questions.
Sure.
Your omega-3 tracker, that was so cool, and you showed that to me before, and thank you for making it more easily accessible. Just at glance when you were screen sharing, I didn't see sunflower seeds.
It may have, they were there. Yeah, they were there.
And then my next question is, I bought this sunflower lecithin for different smoothies because it's cell wall health and everything. Is that going to be okay to do? You know, I know like Dr. Ben Lynch sells it. I had bought it before, an expensive supplement. That's like sunflower.
Oh yeah, he sells PS, you know.
Yeah.
Phosphorus,
that's expensive. So
no, get it from the real food. I'd rather get it from the real food. I mean, if there's a clinical situation where you need a high amount right away, then I'll do a supplement. But I'd much rather, especially, I don't remember from your genetics if you have the PEMT. Do you remember that one? But that says you need more substrate to make your phospholipids, and this will help.
Okay, I can't remember or not, but
I can't remember.
So I can look like the 5 grams of that and this lecithin, I can kind of assume that that's going to be similar to what you put on the tracker as sunflower seed, you think?
Well, the lecithin, I don't believe the lecithin has those omega-3s or 6s in it because it's extracted the lecithin out.
So what is the 5 grams of fat?
The lipids are the phospholipids. So it's a lipid that's attached to a fat that's attached to phosphorus, phospholipids.
Oh, so it's neither one at this point.
I don't think it's either one.
Or three. Okay, so I don't have to.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be concerned. Yeah.
Okay, but I do love sunflower seeds. But I definitely, I remember the reason you showed me that chart is I tend to err on the, I easily make, is it arachidonic acid maybe?
Arachidonic is the inflammatory, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, I need to be careful not to do too many almonds and walnuts. So anyway, thank you.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, no problem. I put, you know, play with it in terms of dose, anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon, but maybe start with a half. And just see how it feels, tastes. What the cool part about it is if you make smoothies in advance, you know, if you put them in the fridge and they separate,
yeah,
keeps them from separating. It's also good for making like a nut milk. Same thing with the fat with the water. And if you let it sit, it separates the phospholipids in the sunflower lecithin, keep them together. So,
you know, I just realized a serving is 1.5 tablespoons. I mean, that's like 5 teaspoons. I've just been using 1 teaspoon. So I'm not even getting much fat at all.
So. Does it say how much phosphatidylserine or choline or whatever?
Nope.
No. It tends to be higher in phosphatidylcholine. Which is really good for brain and memory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to have both because the supplements of both of those are expensive.
They're very expensive, yeah. Especially if they're from sunflower because soy is, I guess it's easier to extract or soy is a cheaper crop. But yeah, most of them are soy, so it's good. And Ben Lynch's supplements are all from sunflower.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Oh, look at that. Look at Sandra's having fun. Open up your line, honey. Let me see. Tell me about it. Wow. You're good.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Oh, this was done with a live model.
A live model, hey? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're very good.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I have been loving seeing people's fun stuff posted. Karen posted her scarf that she finished and, yeah, all the different things. Marcia talking about her weekend and hanging out and hiking. And I just love hearing it. So keep having the fun. Did everybody get on Sunday the email that said about the eating for digestive health to go check that out? I'm hoping that did come. I'm just not sure anymore if I put things out to go out. All right, good. So just keep focusing on those things. Let's see. Open up your line. Muscle rub. Open up your line. I want to tell you guys about. Diana told me today, you know, we were talking about what she does, and she makes all these great products from her herbs that she grows. So it's all organic. It's all made. She has this calendula, this muscle rub. And I asked her, well, tell us about it, because we're all into pure products, right? I'd much rather buy stuff from somebody I know that's making it with love than some factory somewhere, right? Even if it is pure. So if anybody wants, just reach out to her on the Facebook group and get her information.
I'll put it up there. I have a few products that I make. The muscle rub is something I developed for both my husband and I for arthritis. And it's made with Arnica, Montana, that we harvest up in the mountains at 8,500 feet. About 15 miles outside of town. And also the comfrey root, it's our comfrey leaf and root that are grown in the garden. And we put a little bit of calendula because it's good for bruising. Comfrey is called bone knit. That's its nickname. And the arnica, everybody knows that's good for back pain. So it's just a combination that I worked on for several years. And that's it. Like I said, a lot of the folks with arthritis, like us old folks, they really enjoy this because it takes a lot of pain away. If nothing, it doesn't take all the pain. It takes enough that they don't have to take the opioids for pain.
Nice.
And then this one is the calendula salve is the skin salve. This is the most amazing stuff. I also make a tincture out of it. It's this really neat stuff. But anyway, it's for skin, anything skin related, bug bites, rashes, just does amazing stuff for the skin.
What about eczema and psoriasis? Do you have good results with it for that?
Well, you know, we can't, as herbalists, we can't make medicinal claims. Right. But I have several people who have used it on psoriasis and eczema both and gotten incredible relief. One of the folks in town had a little girl that was 3 years old, and she has been diagnosed with the eczema since birth, and all of their prescription lotions and creams were not helping, and the little girl would scream and cry every time her mom would put it on her. And I said, well, try this stuff. You know, she had a little spot right here on her arm, and I said, I have a sample. So I said, but just put some of that on, and the little girl just watched her put it on. It didn't hurt. They walked around the farmer's market for about 15 minutes. And then the lady brought the kid back. She was running, dead run, with the little girl in drag behind her, screaming, look, it's gone. This is the first time in her life she has had clear skin.
Wow.
She still buys for me. The little girl's 14 years old.
Wow.
One of these days I'm going to get her aside and talk to her about some of the internal things she could probably do to help with that problem too. But.
Right. Anyway, well, that's, yeah. But one step at a time. But imagine if you're doing the internal and that. Wow.
Exactly. So the thing is that's so amazing about these things is it's not me. I didn't make these. I get to be the plants that played with them because God made these, and they're just miraculous things. I am so honored that I was able to learn how to use these and make things that help people. And they're so effective. I love it. So anyway, I have a few standard things, but they've all been experimented on by us, our guinea pigs. We're the guinea pigs, but we've got for other friends that are guinea pigs. And then the ones that work out well, they become a product.
Nice.
Also, I don't have this one labeled, but this is a lip balm that I make with a calendula salve.
Nice.
But I use this one in sweet almond oil because it's much more absorbent into the skin than the olive oil that this one's in. It's more like a Band-Aid. It sits a little bit more surface. But this really is wonderful, and it's made with local beeswax, raw and filtered beeswax.
Oh.
So I mean, everything that's in this stuff is just pure, wonderful stuff. So
awesome.
I will put this stuff on the university site.
Yes, please do. I love that because it's not like buying it from someplace that got it from someplace. Oh yeah, it came from a pristine farm somewhere. It's like, oh, it's in your backyard and right. You lovingly cut it and screwed it and did whatever else you did to it to put it in the, I mean, it's just all just beautiful. So thank you for sharing.
I've also done a lot of photo journaling of how I go about making it, and I've got lots of picture tutorials. So I've shown people how to do it. This isn't about a money thing at all. When people can't afford it, I just give it to them. It's more about just, you know, providing it for people that need it and then teaching anybody that wants to know. So I have done a lot of photo journaling, and I can write stories, and if anybody's interested in learning how to do it.
So. Beautiful. Well, can we have you come in and do a little class?
I have stage fright. I'm surprised I'm even talking.
Well, like this, it would be just like this, right? Lynn Rose will tell you about it.
Come on, you're most friends.
Yeah, you're most friends. Would just maybe, be for us. Just for us.
Maybe someday I will, okay?
All right.
I would enjoy that, I'm sure, but yeah, let me think about it a little bit.
Okay.
I don't do Facebook. How can I reach you?
Oh, my.
Put your information in the chat.
I will. At a future time, I'll put in a little notepad document, and then I'll drop it into the chat next time.
Okay. I'll see you at the next group.
Yeah, we'll see you at the next group. So, yeah, I'll put it in. When's our next group, Lynn?
I think it's our next group. Week. I think there's something. No, next week's my prep for Shine, so it's probably the week after. I don't know.
It'll be soon.
Probably in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll get it to you soon. But I'll make up a little notepad thing so I don't have to think and type at the same time.
Okay, got it.
I can't remember how to type my name when I'm talking.
You can't type your name and your phone number while you talk?
Nope.
You're funny.
And walking through chew gum at the same time either. But.
Oh, right. I used to not be able to walk and talk at the same time or I'd trip over nothing.
Sounds like me.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Ollie.
Thank you. Anybody else? Marcia, you've been quiet tonight. Anything from you?
I just finished eating my shake, my green drink.
Oh, yeah. I'm so happy that you're starting to like the green drinks. That's exciting.
Yeah, and today I actually only used half a banana for a whole day's worth of green drinks. So that was, I'm trying to get away from that.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Super, super, super. All right, everybody. Well, thank you all for being here. And Lynn Rose, you're doing something. Aren't you doing another presentation? No, you did your, did you do your dirty electricity yet? Or are you doing it next month?
I'm doing one on November 12th for sleep. But I
sleep.
Did
okay. Yeah. So you guys are having trouble with sleep. And Lynn is an herbalist. And
I have a question for Lynn. And they never sent us a replay link for that one. They usually would send replay links.
For the vital? It's on the site.
Yeah. It's on the site.
I'll show you.
I didn't get an email about it. But anyway, so.
It's on the site. If you just go to the site. Let me show
okay.
you.
I go to vital.
Where is it? Here. So you go up here. You go to ERC dashboard.
Okay.
And then you go to calls and recordings. And these are upcoming ones. And you go down to recordings and you see vital health topic, dirty electricity.
Okay, October 9th. Good.
Yeah. So this will, we put everything in here. So if it's vital, if it's BFF, if it's office hours, we just put them all in one place for you. So
thank
you. Don't
you. Okay, that's what scared me. I was like, oh.
Where am I going to find it?
So then, I have a quick question.
Sure.
If my dimmer switch is full power and switches off and on, so I'm not using it as a dimmer feature, is it still dirty electricity?
It doesn't matter if it's on all the way or all the way down.
It's okay.
It still causes an erratic thing on the wave.
Okay. Because I'm in the middle of a remodel and I have one dimmer switch now. My husband wants four more. And I told the electrician, he's like a master electrician. And I said, I'm really concerned about dirty electricity. And he didn't know what we're talking about.
Mm.
married to a master electrician, and he had, I mean, that was back when nobody knew what dirty electricity was anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know, so.
Okay. But anyway, so I need to have the one that I have reversed and not put in more. Yeah.
But my dimmer, though, has an on-off switch.
Well, mine had an on-off switch.
Not on-off like dimmer. Like, I mean, at the bottom also it has an on-off.
Yeah.
Well, when I turn that off, that's still dirty.
That mine was.
My whole house is a disaster.
Oh, you had showed, if you watched that link, she showed like some meters that you can get. And
yeah. You know what? I'm going to fail all that. So I think I'm just going to work on healing my gut first, and then I'll have to rewire the whole house. I was like, the whole time I went, the whole time you were talking, I was like, F minus on that. We have that. My house is over 100. And we remodeled just like you're doing, and I put dimmers everywhere. The whole house, but I thought maybe that was a good question, because I have the on-off switch on the bottom of the dimmer, and I thought maybe I've saved myself. But it sounds like I need to do the tests, like you were saying.
You can't just test it. If it's on a switch to a light or a switch, if it doesn't have an outlet attached to it, you can't measure it. That's the problem.
Oh, you can't?
But if I just need to live in my backyard.
If you know there's something else on that circuit, you know, because sometimes they wire a lot of things together.
Oh. So if there's a plug near it?
Yeah, well, if that's wired to it. I mean, just because if you have a house like mine where nothing is done normal, then you may have switches next to each other that are not on the circuit, same circuit.
Yes.
But you could, you know, play with the breakers and find out. You know,
I told my husband that we just need to move.
I want to move anyway.
So I was like, dude, we super extra need to move sooner now, because
wait till they bring it everywhere. 5G, and then you can't go anywhere.
Then you can't go anywhere. Darn it. So I bought one of those meters from Craig at the last potluck, Lynn. And it has the digital. I had an old one, an old gas meter, and he said you couldn't really use them with the newer technology. So I bought a new one. Would that you're saying that if I held that up to my dimmer switches, that wouldn't.
No, that's a different kind of meter.
That's a different meter. Okay.
I brought it to your house, not this last one, but a few months before. I'll bring it again.
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to see where I stand with it.
Yeah,
you need to offer a service where you go around to people and you do it for them.
This is your plug in the dining room, and it was not good.
I bought one of those from Craig
he'll be at Shine.
SIV that I went to, and I don't even know. I tried it, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be checking. It does go off by my microwave. I can definitely tell you that.
Yeah, and by my Vitamix.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, so turn it, and it's only a short period of time, and it's only when it's on. But when you turn it on, walk away for a little bit and then come back. I've got to go around with it. I went in my bedroom and I kind of freaked out. Maybe I can show you next time. But I went by my bed and I was getting weird readings near my bed. But then when it went a little bit away, it was very weird. So I'm like a little nervous about that.
Try to put it where your head is.
Yeah. It was okay where my head was on the pillow, but if I went just a little bit up from there, it was a problem.
Yeah. Distance and time are the two biggest factors with EMF.
Right. And time, we're in bed, right?
Yeah. So,
third of your life.
In bed for long periods of time. That will give me a good excuse not to sleep. And then we're going to hear your talk on sleep in a few. And you're going to find out, oh no.
Well, Lynn Rose, I'm going to friend you on Facebook, so I hope you'll friend me back.
There, I live there.
Okay.
That's good. Well, I came over here to just show you. Remember I said there was, so this is, if you go to your ERC page and you click on Raw Food University under bonuses, so you have your regular modules and you have bonuses. There's all kinds of cool stuff here. If you click on this, I want to show you the bread class that I was telling. Who was I telling? I was Jeannie, right? But other people asked. So this is some really cool classes. And most of these are me and Karen, who you guys have met. Karen's amazing. And Pamela. And, you know, delicious dairy-free, no-guilt cheeses, which is amazing. The art of gluten-free bread making. And all of these are fun. But these are the top popular ones. But the other one that's super good, and I think you do need a dehydrator to do, look at these foods. Isn't this amazing? It's the Taste of Mexico, because there's tamales. How do you make tamales? Anyway, it's really cool. So yeah. I just thought I would show you that. And then if you also go to Vital, so much easier to find things on this new site. If I go to Vital, here we go. And you go to where it says Healing Kitchen Recordings. You're going to see the upcoming one. That's this one coming up. And then there's recordings, and it just goes back all the way to 2012. So you got a lot of recordings here, but just scan through the list and find the ones that, like, this one had a lot of gluten-free stuff, like use the dehydrator. Let's see, make desserts, how to become, this one, the pot, no, that's pasta. No, never mind. Did I ever do a pizza one? Would that be a fun one to do? Just a pizza?
For pizza class.
Pizza maybe class?
Yeah.
let's see. Delicious ways, gut health, alphabet soup. I thought I did, but I guess I didn't. All right. That's what we're going to have to do. We have to do a pizza class.
I'll be there.
Okay, we'll do a pizza class. The one that I did do some pizzas and stuff, gluten-free and low glycemic meals. Oh, that was with the Letchworth sisters. That was not pizza. Yeah, let's see. Anyway, just go through these because there's some really good stuff and you just get some ideas for what you want to watch and learn. Gluten-free, dairy-free wraps. This one had definitely had some dehydrator stuff. We always do something for the sugar season at the holidays. So it's just, you know, naturally that at this time of year, we're going to do that. I think the recipe redo number one had a pizza in it. Anyway, that gives you some ideas. We'll do a pizza class. If everybody says yes, that's a good idea. Stop sharing. That would be fun for me. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks for staying long.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Janet. Hi, Janet. I didn't see you earlier.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.